know she crazy, but I only wanna be with you. You think I'm shady cause I'm out here trying to make some moves, but it ain't like that, just know that I'll be right back. I'll give you all my time just to let you know you're mine. It ain't nothing, promise I'ma do it all to give you something. This love I got is only for you, you're my comfort, my future husband. I'ma give you all my heart, yeah, all of it, yeah.
Baby, I know that I gotta come fix it. You the only nigga that I be missing. Swear I'm coming home to give you the business. Turn off my phone, it can leave me a message. I'ma just cover your body with kisses, kisses. Rub your body down, you know that I miss it, miss it.
I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot the deputy. Oh no, oh, I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot the deputy. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Glasses in the air, toast to a higher power, cause what you tuning in to right now,
sit down.
Happy Hour with Lito presents the Triangle Offense Podcast with Imani Music and Harrell and Lito.
Welcome to the Triangle Offense Podcast. I'm Lito.
Yo, it's your boy Imani.
Hey, yo, what's up? I'm broadcasting. I'm Anthony, broadcasting live from Fox, baby.
But you on live? You on location, bro? What's going on? Where you at?
Yeah, man. I'm over here at Fox Studio off on Pico Boulevard with the picketers over here for that SAG after strike. A friend of mine invited me, and I had to come down, see what it was like. Some picketers down here, not too bad, not too many, but they're down here.
Good, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny about that is crazy is because one of my dudes, he was living in L.A. He actually came back to Ohio because he said it's a writer's strike going on right now.
Yeah, that's it there. Right here, man. Yeah, it's been going on for quite a while. Well, it's been going on stronger. It's getting stronger. It's completely shut down now. I originally wasn't going to come to this mug because I haven't been with, although I am an actor and I've done a lot of SAG stuff back in my day, I haven't been with SAG. I haven't been with the union in probably over 10 years. And this is really kind of what that is. It's like a union strike. But a friend of mine who's with, you know, with the union, who I've done a lot of projects with, invited me. And I'm still an actor at heart, man. And this affects me too, because believe it or not, the same thing that's going on with this, with the writer strike, with acting and writers and stuff, it's going on in the music industry. It's like, the, you know, the big wigs, you know, making all the money, sitting up with their feet up, getting their knobs sucked, while all, you know, the creators down low and getting the motherfucking thing. So that's really kind of why I came, not only just to interview my friend and chop it up with her, but you know, I feel like, you know, they could use my support. You know what I mean?
No doubt.
What's so crazy is how much they're dealing with, and yet still how far along they are in the process than the music industry. Like, they at least have a union. Like, music industry has nothing. And we don't seem like we're any closer to getting it. So the fact that they're young, but just the fact that they still have to deal with shit like this is crazy, man.
It's crazy, you know, man.
The big wigs is going big wig.
Mm-hmm.
How is everybody today, though, bro? How y'all feeling?
I'm good, man. I'm a little tired, but I'm good. I'm good.
I'm cooling.
Okay.
Yeah, I see him out there. I will say this. It's great to see people come out and show some support. But I'm kind of disappointed, man.
It's not a lot, right? It ain't too many.
It's Hollywood. It's Hollywood.
Well, it's light right now where I am. When I first got dropped off, it was seaward. That they're heading that way.
Mm-hmm.
If you walk that way, that's the main gate. I'm gonna walk over towards that way, that's where I really want to try to get the interview at, because it's popping down there. But I wanted mm-hmm. to. This is where a small amount of people are.
Okay.
At this other area, so when it's time to interview, I'll have us walk over there, so it could be a little bit more, you know, active.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna take me like 2 minutes to get there.
Yeah, it's too many struggling actors out in L.A. to not be out there picketing, boy. You got to get
some facts.
Yeah, you're right about that. They out here, man. What do you think it'll take to get a union started in music?
What do I think it'll take to get a union started in music?
I'll let E answer that.
Jay-Z or somebody being the person to form it. Somebody with some level of power and real influence to be able to say, okay, listen, now it's time. And probably if he tried to do that, they'd probably try to take him out or put some fake charges on him. Like, I don't know. Music industry is way more corrupt to me than movie field in so many different ways. And then even when they do unionize, if they ever do unionize in music, I'll say when, because hopefully they will. I just think we're just so far behind in the process. It's just going to look ugly. It's going to look ugly. So I don't know.
So it's going to be very... Go ahead, Lito.
Did y'all see that they... I don't know if it's a rumor, but they're doing this Surviving Diddy show. What is going on?
I might have heard something like that. Really? You think that's going to happen?
Man, listen. People crazy, bro.
But hey, let me ask you this, though. Damn. Let me be objective. Do we think that show wouldn't have any validity if it was to come out?
No, I'm not saying that. I hadn't heard stories about
that. Yeah, I've heard some stories too.
I think stories.
Yeah, I think we've all heard
some crazy, like
half the stories that I've heard I know are true. That's the scary thing.
Yeah, like I'm not like
at
I'm
least half of them.
I'm not surprised by anybody's story that you know that Diddy is one of the people that people keep mentioning in the small circles of conversation and about wild dudes. Trey Songz, another person.
Man, I'm so mad at Trey Songz, bro.
I don't know whether something is true or not. I'm not
hearing stuff about him though. Like,
but you know what? The thing about hearing stuff about people,
we on the move.
Me,
I'll keep going. We on the move though.
I know if you ask some people about me at a certain point in my life that really have no clue about me, who might have wanted to paint a perception, that can travel with me for the rest of my life. I could be a totally different person today.
Right. And
that not even be an ounce of who I am. So right. I don't want to say that I don't know based off of stories. I just leave people with their truths. If that's what you say is true, cool. Until I experience it, until I see it with my own eyes, I don't know what the fuck going on. So,
we know about a lot about certain people. If you're in the industry and you grew up in it, you know stories and you know certain things are true, but it's kind of like, you know, telling people's business if you don't got to, sort of thing. Like, I'm not that type of nig, like, but if I have an invested interest to tell somebody's business, I'll do it, but I don't. I ain't just want to be blabbing off at the mouth. You know what I mean? That ain't the type of nigga I am. But I will tell some shit. I will tell some shit.
I'm still a fan of Trey, so whatever they say, I don't even like, I just be like, really? Bro, just drop
never
an album.
Never been a fan.
Drop an album, bro.
Never been a fan of him.
No, I just said, you're not a fan of Trey?
Nah, never have. Nope. You don't do it.
I'm always,
as a matter of fact, I'll go even further. I hate this, but it is what it is. I was thinking to myself, one of my questions I wanted to ask y'all is, out of all the artists that are on your iPhone or your whatever, the phone that you plug in and you play, out of all the artists that pop up on Shuffle, if you had to erase one artist and all of his or her music off of your thing, who would it be? And Trey Songz was top three. I would erase his shit off of my iPhone because I never listen to it. Every time his songs pop up on Shuffle, I just skip.
Really?
One artist you would erase that you know that you have, like quite a few songs from this artist, but you would just erase it because it's just not important.
Oh, this is going to be a good one. I like this question. Yeah.
Cause well, hey, mine's Trey Songz. I just answered it.
In my phone right now?
Ooh,
in your phone answer. Right now. If you, I probably got over 10,000 songs, and I got a lot of Trey Songz, but I never listened to them. And it's not because I said he's whack. I don't think he's whack. I just never liked it.
I got two already in mind.
We talking about R&B or are we talking about?
No, just whatever. It could be rap, but an artist. And it can't be like nobody whack who you only have like one of their songs and they're, everybody knows that they're whack. That'd be too easy. Like Trey Songz has albums, mixtapes, a large, song selection. Yeah. Album. So it's just like, damn, you're going to erase all his shit? Somebody all like right. that.
Hey, yeah, I go, oh, this going to be.
It's not easy for me.
Hey, bro. Let me give you my first two because I'm trying to get down to the last one.
Okay.
My first one, and I'm sorry, first one is Aaliyah.
Ooh, and you know what? It takes balls to say that, my nigga. I need you to explain that. That takes some balls.
She has dope songs. Don't get me wrong. I don't think her albums were great. I think she was an overrated artist. I don't think she was a good vocal.
I'd have to agree with you, bro.
I think she was a great entertainer. She's definitely talented, but I don't think her musical career was as stellar as people hold it up to.
My nigga, I got more respect for you every single time you do this podcast. I just want you to know that, E. I really do, man.
Yeah,
respect, bro. Because like, not only do you be thinking the same stuff as me, there's certain things that I wouldn't even say, and that's one of them.
Oh no, I'm gonna say.
I know I get thrown under the bus, but I think that. I think the same way as you, my nigga.
All right, my first one. It's a hip hop artist.
Okay.
Gucci.
Okay.
Get him out of there.
I'm not mad.
Okay. Get him out of there.
Get him out of there. I mean, he done made some, but like, yeah, nah. If I had to choose one in my phone right now, out of all the ones that I just went past, and then you want to give your second? My second person is an R&B person.
Uh-oh.
So I know niggas is gonna hate me. Yo, my second person, and I'm basing it off of the totality of his catalog. Tupac.
No.
Hey, if you gonna say Tupac, then I'm gonna say my second, and I know a lot of people gonna hate me, including both of y'all niggas. You ready?
Hold on, you gotta explain that, bro.
No, hold up. Mine's worse. But you got, since he said Tupac, mine is Lil Wayne. I don't care if anybody hates
me. I'm not mad.
He said Tupac.
I'm not mad.
I gotta get rid of Lil Wayne and Trey Songz could go.
I'm not mad.
I get the Tupac thing though. I get it because a lot of people don't like.
But see, I like Tupac, but I like songs of Tupac. I don't like albums of Tupac. So, like, I'm the person that I don't usually listen to playlists. Like when I get in the car or something, I'll play albums and I like to listen to albums straight through. So whenever I find myself listening to Pac, I never listen to the full catalog or his full
album.
I'll punch it.
Yeah, neither do I.
So
I'm approaching in about 60 seconds. Sorry to interrupt. I'm approaching the majority of the crowd. I'll let you guys see. I don't know how to turn this camera around Oh, wait, there we go. So the majority of the crowd is up there. I don't know if y'all can see it. It's about maybe 100 feet up. Let's go. Samantha is actually back there in the smaller crowd following me. So keep talking and we'll start the interview in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
When I get to the crowd. And right in the middle of the crowd.
My second one is Jaheim.
Okay. I like Jaheim though. That's cool.
I like songs of his, but I can't listen to a whole, like he said, I can't listen to a whole album of Jaheim.
Yeah.
I want to throw one more. Ja Rule. He can get his ass out of there too.
He can get the boot too. He has some hot shit back in the day though. Like
Erase.
That's my
job. Both jobs. Team and Rule. Say peace.
Dang. Fox Studios. Y'all see it.
Right here.
Yo, Ant, go to the front door, man. I think them niggas owe me a check, man.
Hey, talk about checks, man. I'm going to get into that residual check. I told Kathy to bring a couple of residual checks of mine that I got a few months ago just to drive the point home about how much actors be getting, man. And it's just fucking ridiculous. Hopefully she brings it.
Hey, listen.
I'm talking about synth.
Let me tell y'all something. I feel the pain just because when I be getting these residuals off of this little pub, these little ass cap checks.
And them shit make me stop recording. Wow. Something tells me. See this nig right there? Wow. See this nig with the glasses off to the right. Something tells me because I don't see nobody else on the phone. See that nig with the glasses on?
Mm-hmm.
And he gonna lunch watch. I'm gonna keep recording for these people. I don't see nobody on the phone. Just tickets.
Yeah, we got
you know, the only thing about being out there by yourself, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't want to see you getting into no
Yo, I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm highly disappointed though. I feel like that whole street, especially in Hollywood, like you're the mecca of movie, like this Tinseltown. That whole box should be flooded, if not even with the actors who are known, just people who are out there. Literally, LA is a place where people go to become an actor.
Mm-hmm.
So that street should be full. Like
in theory, but I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs about how long it's been going and how many times they've been out here. I literally don't know. I just know Sam invited me this one particular time and I showed up. So it might be kind of mild and light right now.
I think that's one of the questions I want to ask.
Yeah. How long have they been doing it?
She made it clear. So before I start, when I approached her, she said, I know to corroborate what she just said, I went online yesterday just to look up some information about it on Yahoo. And it says that while this strike is going on, actors not only can they not act, their projects have been pulled, they got to get off the sets, they can't promote any projects that they're currently doing or they currently have done that have wrapped, and they basically can't talk about anything that they're doing or have done. So I can't talk to her about Training Day. I can't talk to her about like nothing. It's really weird that we got to kind of conduct ourselves around these bullshit rules so she won't get in trouble. Now me, on the other hand, I could talk about anything I want because I'm not a SAG member. I can't get in trouble, but I still got to watch myself because my foot is still in the door. You know what I mean? Like they could close the door on me for good. Like I got a Walmart thing I'm filming tomorrow. And the only reason why that's not affected is because I'm not, it's non-union.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But eventually I want to get with the union. So I got to be a good boy.
That's interesting.
Yeah, man.
Questions like how long it's been going on, like
how did you get the passion for it, when did you start. You could ask how you and Anthony met. As a matter of fact, I'll let you guys ask the questions. Ask me what to ask her and I'll ask her and let her answer, but just keep that in mind. Don't talk about any projects. Find a way to skate around that, but make the questions you know that where she can answer. I told her we'll be no longer than 15 minutes. So here she comes right now. And by the way, there's a guy here, he's an older guy, probably about 70 now. His name is Bennett Tramer. He was one of the producers on the Saved by the Bell show, really cool white guy. He actually still follows me online. He knows about my singing and everything and my gig. So maybe we could even interview him. He's right there in the red shirt walking with her. Really cool guy.
Yo.
So let me know when y'all want to start. We can pretty much start anytime.
Yeah, I mean, you know, make the introduction and all that.
Sam, you ready to start? Whenever you ready, just tell me. You need a little while? Just tell me when.
Mm-hmm. I might want to interview you for like 2 seconds too. Will I get you in trouble?
Yeah, definitely. I don't want to mess up nobody's livelihood.
For sure. You got your, you got your third.
Okay.
All right. Got your third. You said, oh no, you said your third.
Won't be long, Sam.
No, well, yeah, I job was my third.
Somewhere relatively quiet.
Both the jobs.
It ain't got to be super quiet because I want it to be kind of in the middle here. Somewhere you can hear.
Trying to think who my
third is. That water is running,
right? Yeah. Okay.
Trying to think who my third is.
We can keep going. We could. Let's do five.
I don't have
five. You don't have five? You got four?
No.
Almost anybody in my phone is in there for a purpose.
You know, I found myself deleting a lot of stuff recently, too.
Yeah. It ain't going to be that.
Definitely deleting a lot.
So
easy. Jeffrey Sachs.
So, yes, I remember his face.
A third.
Yeah, for sure. They still
getting residual change. Oh, Mace. I'll take Mason.
Mason Bethel.
Yeah, only because he only got two albums. And, two albums that I get.
Yeah. I'm going to
talk about that. I can talk about that. Huh?
Yeah, Mace is out here. Salute to Mace, though.
Salute to Mace. And that fake hairline he got.
We almost to our destination.
That hairline is not real. I don't care what nobody say.
Yeah, this is cool. All right, let's get it.
All right. Let's do it.
I'm going to be ghetto fabulous, but I'm not going to cuss something like that. Let's keep it around.
You say you going to be ghetto fabulous? So how you gonna do? You just going so
you're not necessarily gonna tell you to hear them because I have headphones on. So just speak into the phone. Let me know when y'all ready. So give me the go.
No, we ready. We ready.
Okay. All right. So check it out. This is my first time out on the boulevard, so I'm gonna be hella mumbling over my words. But I'm on the street. I'm broadcasting from Fox Studios. I'm here to visit. Not only visit an old friend of mine, current friend of mine, forever lifetime friend of mine, but I'm here to support the SAG-AFTRA strike that's going on. Because your boy, you know, still has a lot of acting to do. I did some acting in the past, and I still have acting to do, so I figured I'd come support. So we're going to take this time out to interview this friend of mine, Sam, who's here to help with the strike. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Samantha. What's your last name?
Esteban.
Sorry.
There you go. And this is a lifetime friend of mine who I met on. Well, I'll let her introduce herself. Who are you?
Hi.
And how did you meet me? That's the first question.
We can't hear her, Aunt.
You can't hear her? Hold on 1 second. I'm gonna turn this off.
Much better.
Much better.
Can you hear now?
Yep.
Hear me now? Okay. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
It's called The Triangle Offense.
The Triangle Offense?
With Lito and Imani. That's okay. Lito.
Lito.
And that's Eid.
Nice to meet you. Imani.
Yes. How are you?
Good. As I've said, my name is Samantha Esteban.
Esteban.
And, Anthony. Got some history.
Tell them about that history a little bit.
Man, so first time I met Anthony, was it at the, was it like a photo shoot, right?
Oh yeah, it was.
Okay. So my mom, my late mother, Delia, rest her soul, was like my number one, she was like my publicist. So she was talking to Anthony and he brought his brother and I think.
Did we sign the Dre at the time?
Jeff. Yeah, I think so.
It was the photo shoot for Trey, right? No, it was the Save by the Bell.
So my mom started talking to them before I even had a chance to, you know, getting all the 411. And she's like, oh, you guys sing? And they sang for her. And she's like, oh, yeah.
Let me hold this for you.
Yes, my daughter, she sings too. My daughter sings. So Anthony was like, for real? So they came. She brought him over. And I sang. I think I sang a Lauryn Hill song.
I'm in my pain with the thing.
I think I forgot.
Come on, now. That's when you used to have it. No, I'm just joking.
She's still dope. She's still dope.
Too much whiskey and blunts.
It's all good. We've all been there.
So yeah, we met. Came on as a new cast member, and
we've been friends ever since.
Anthony. Just everybody loves Anthony. Yeah, and right. If you don't, something is wrong with you. No, we're family. And so yeah, we met on the set, and man, we have so many great memories. He introduced me to my loved one, which we now have two beautiful daughters together.
Shout out to Mel, man. Y'all know Mel. Y'all know Chronic 2001.
Oh, sorry, producer Mel. Oh,
but that's great. One of the greatest albums I ever heard. Him and Dre produced it. That's my nigga.
Okay.
So if y'all want to ask her any questions, man, feel free. But keep in mind that it's like you can't, as a SAG member and as an actor herself, she can't talk about any current projects, any projects that she's doing. She can't promote. So if y'all have any questions, feel free to ask them, man.
Well, yeah, I mean,
chop it up.
Yeah, well, fuck they projects right now. That's how we feel. So
we can't hear y'all.
Oh, say it again. Can you hear now?
Why can't I hear?
You can't hear?
I turned them off. Hold on, y'all. Yeah, I turned it off.
This is when we roll the technical difficulties.
Keep talking.
Yeah, across the front
hear,
of the...
You hear us?
You talking?
You hear us, bro?
We're talking.
I barely hear. That's crazy.
It might be that wind that's blowing out there, too. That, you know...
Oh, there we go. Can y'all hear?
I'm about to say, did you bring out your iPhone or you kept the phone?
Y'all got any questions?
No. I said, fuck they projects right now. Until they get paid, we don't give a fuck about their projects. My first question was, what inspired her to get into acting? I really want to focus on her and fuck these people.
Well... my mother put me in dance since before I could probably even run or walk. So I've always kind of been in love and been used to being on the stage. I started doing live performances in theater in elementary, middle school, into high school. So it was just something that really resonated within my soul was performing and being like a storyteller or a translator of someone else's story or just a story period, a person, a character, somebody that people can relate to, so it just started from there, and I progressed theater.
Do you feel like you've had an issue with being typecasted within the industry, being of Hispanic heritage at all?
Good question.
You're limited to certain roles at all?
I hope that's a beep of support. That sounded like an angry beep. hold on.
Yeah, let them get their beep.
That's a great question that you just asked, for real.
In the beginning, because I was, I was young, teenager. I was just so grateful just to be able to work. I actually, growing up, I'm of mixed race. It was hard for me to be accepted with this race versus that race. So I just latched onto, friends and people who embraced me. So I grew up in a multicultural environment with Latinos. And just every ethnicity and background of people you could think of. So just with my physical looks, people always just assumed I was Latina. And at a time, I probably, was like a wannabe Mexican, So
she always been fine.
So yeah, at the time, the roles I got, I was just like, you know, I was creating a role. I was interpreting like a, you know, an ethnicity, because I was already in touch with, you know, with the culture. Mm-hmm. So the older I got, older I am now, you know, I am mixed with Filipina, but I can't, it's hard, you know, when I'm being pitched for something like an Asian role or Hawaiian, that they don't, you know, they put me into this category based on my looks.
Is there a role that, or a character that you haven't played that you are very interested in playing?
A character, a role? Like, you mean like
i.e. like a singer? Be interested in playing a singer?
Yeah, what's your dream role? What's your dream role? If someone can write something out for you today, what would that role look like?
Good, how are you? Well, I love that as women, we've grown to be strong, you know, very strong, resilient, you know, individuals. So I want to play like a badass lieutenant or general, or, you know, someone who represents strength and kicks ass.
See, J-Lo, the movie, she's kicking ass?
Oh, I didn't watch the whole thing yet.
How long has the strike been going on?
It started, I want to say, when I should know this, the details, but it was last week. It started at midnight. I want to say Wednesday or Thursday morning, 12 a.m.
This your first time being out here?
Yeah, this is my first. It's my first strike. There's other locations and studios and lots that if anyone wants to go and support, because we all are of the same community.
You think this strike is going to help at all? Be honest.
I think, yeah. This strike hasn't happened. A strike like this, a double strike, hasn't happened since the 1960s.
Right? Oh, 60s?
Yeah. And out of that strike, that's when they came up with the health care plan, the pension plan, put a rules for residuals into place.
Residuals. That's a big one. I'm sick of getting these 1 cent and 7 cent checks. Stop sending them.
Hey, it's a penny earned, Anthony.
Man, please. Hey, I ain't in the newsroom. I can talk a little shit.
No, I'm not with him. No,
I don't want to get her in no more trouble. Thanks for being on.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. When it's over, you got to come back.
We'll come back and give her an interview when she can really open her mouth and talk some more. You could tell she was trying not to say, you know what I'm saying? I love you.
I love you.
That's my friend for life, dude. All right.
That was dope.
That was dope.
Thank you, Sam. You're the best. It wasn't too hard, right?
No.
All right. I'm chilling. I'm going to finish up and I'm chilling.
Yeah,
let me.
All right. Okay.
Yes, it's.
Hold on, let me put my headphones on. Hold on.
The temperature out there seems, you know, very.
All right, go ahead, y'all.
Said the temperature out there seems very optimistic. Seems like everyone is like,
yeah,
in good spirit.
Yeah, man, it's no. Like I said, when I first pulled up, I was a little worried because I ain't got no. I'm rolling kind of light right now, if you know what I mean. Yeah. And so I was like, yo, man, if anything pops off. If I get here, you know how LA is, and rioters and picketers. I thought it was going to be kind of aggressive, but I felt the good energy off top. This is right now. It's the busiest that it's been. Niggas is just honking, but I think they're honking in support. So it's all good so far.
No doubt.
Well, it's needed. It's a beautiful thing to see, you know, people come together for a cause, a common cause that's there to do some good.
Right.
Wish it could transfer over to music.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody got to take that, you know, that leap of faith, or, you know.
Dude, these fat, I mean, I'm not a complete pessimistic type of person, but when it comes to stuff like that, man, I mean, that's another reason why I took a step back out of the business, y'all, like, because of this stuff. I mean, I see. I've been affected by this stuff years and years before they brought these picket signs out. You know what I'm saying? Like in music and acting, I've been affected by it. But I'm just not one to stand out on the side of the road and picket, be like, "Give me what I want." I'm just the type of nigga to go get what I want. You know what I mean? And so it's just like, that's what I think artists have to do. Like the first thing Bennett Schramer told me, this guy right here that used to be in the red shirt, used to be a writer for Saved by the Bell. He said, "I still follow you." He's like, "I still get residual checks because of you guys." He's like, "You, if it wasn't for you guys, the actors, none of this would be possible." And it's like the craziest thing is those fat cats up the top. They don't even realize that. They don't acknowledge it. They just, you know, do what they do. They get, you know, it's just like,
it's definitely sick, a money situation going on within America, period. Like, I don't know what's going on exactly, but like when you see, like, just for like to pivot real quick and we come back, like you see how, like, you know, top running backs are not getting nothing now. All of a sudden, they don't want to give deals to these guys. They don't want to pay these men. Like, it's like that. Like, that's happening. And then next thing you know, them guys might end up striking in the NFL till they get, you know what I'm saying? Who knows what's going to happen with that?
Yeah.
Everybody started speaking out yesterday, though, which was crazy because they seen, like, two top guys didn't get, like, no deal. So, you know, that really made the big dogs like, yo, uh-uh. Like, why do we have a position? Why do we have a running back position if we're not going to pay these guys? You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. I don't know what's going on, bro.
I think one of the biggest problems, though, is because you'll have this moment of solidarity with the actors and everyone. But then there's also the situation where there's tons of people who are looking at this as like a moment of advantage. Like, oh, well, the unions is on strike. Like how you said, like, Ant's like, yo, bro, you know, I ain't with the union. I'm still getting booked. Like, I'm still booked and busy. And there's a side of that where people are like, yo, listen, I'm still just trying to make it. So even this unionized issue to them, even though it's a larger issue probably down the line for them, but right now in the moment, it's not that big of a deal for them when they just look at the check. So you'll have tons of actors and tons of writers who might not be a part of that system who are more than willing to work. And these studios know that. So, you know, instead of them doing the fair thing, they'll try to go ahead and bullshit and hold you out, knowing that a lot of these actors, a lot of these writers, this is their living. Like, they need this shit. Like,
speaking of that, what let me know this was as bad as it is that, like, the top guys, I don't know if they said any names, but, like, top people in the union was like, oh, yeah, we're going to let them, you know, picket until they start to lose their houses, until they start to go broke and they don't have nowhere to live. That's what they said. Who says that?
That's crazy.
I mean, I read that with my own eyes. So that should let you know that they're nowhere near coming to a
but
a
I will say this, though. Product will be bad. And once tech is bad, you will see it affect their bottom line. So they will have to come to the table at some point.
Winter's calling me. My sister's calling me. Let me answer. Go ahead. Okay.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation.
Yeah.
I do think a lot of people are either going to stand on the side of history or stand on the side of history, like in a whole nother way. So.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Like, I talked to Imp, so there's been some backlash about our interview.
Okay, fellas.
Pops, what's up, bro?
Oh, I hold on. Before you go there, but I heard the backlash interview with Pops. I got one more person I want to come here, Bennett. I got one more person I want to interview before I'm done with my street. Hold on.
That'd be very interesting.
Yes. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm still on the street. I'm about to wrap it up soon, and I wanted to introduce you guys to an old friend of mine named Bennett Schramer. He used to be a writer.
I was the showrunner and writer an official one of many fans of Anthony.
Oh, thank you so much. Hey, I don't want to get Bennett in trouble, so we all know the rules. They're trying to keep very tight, you know, tight-lifted about, you know, what it is they're doing. They don't want to get him in any trouble, so. But I just wanted to bring him on and tell him how much I love him, adore him. He said he still follows me, which melted my heart. I can't
believe. Well, he used to sing on the show. He sang "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas." Anthony did on a Christmas episode.
Yeah,
it was so beautiful.
I sang Louis Armstrong, "What a Wonderful World." Remember that?
That was a great episode where the Canadian died. Like, you see, our audience was very young kids. It was how to deal with the death of someone you care about.
Mm-hmm.
So he did some good messages, and Anthony was one of our best people. He was really solid.
That's so sweet.
Can you ask? I want to know. First, how long have you been in the business? And then also a second part to that, how does this make you feel to go through this process after being in the business so long, to have to go through this whole strike?
Well, you know, my first job was in 1972. A horror movie right that didn't get made. My next job was rewriting a movie called The Bingo Long Traveling All-Stars with Billy Dee Williams and Richard Pryor and James Earl Jones.
I love that.
Just yesterday, the LA Times, they had it's very flattering, the 25 best uplifting views of Black America in sports movies, and that was one of them. So,
oh, my God.
Was that where they were part of the Negro League, the baseball team?
Yeah. Some of our advisors were guys who played in the Negro League.
I love that.
And we had guys acting in it who played on the Indianapolis Clowns, which is the Harlem Globetrotters in baseball. So it was a great experience. And then I've done a lot of stuff, a lot of TV movies, every version of Saved by the Bell, just about. And, you know, when you do something, whether it's music or painting, and people, you get paid for it. It's good to have the job. But, like, here today, there's people I've never met who say, I watched Saved by the Bell, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
and it's just the notion you can sit in a room or in a studio and write something that decades later people get joy from. They remember it and they say, "Watch it with my kids." It's very gratifying. It's very, very. Your work has meant something to people, you know, to strangers.
These are real people down here, man. That real creators and writers that care about the craft, that just want to be treated fair. You know what
exactly
I mean?
Right. Yeah, that's the here besides the reunion. This is my fifth strike, and you talked about older days versus today. The other strikes were mostly, you know, we want better health coverage, we want better residuals, better minimums. We wanted them to pay us more, and they wanted to pay us less. And this is more about the very survival of actors and writers. They start replacing us with, you know, robots, and they give us 10 show orders instead of 26 show orders. Yeah. And they do our show, you know, when the show is on cable, you could trace it to the show Eric, that's your character name. The show Anthony was in first was syndicated on USA Network after it was at NBC. Well, I didn't have to make up anything. I just see when it was on USA Network and how many times it played. Streaming, they claim they can't follow it, which probably isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
So we have much smaller residuals. Because they claim, oh, we don't know how much streaming we
get.
So we're really getting screwed at best. It's a very just strike. I don't think we want anything more than we're entitled to.
Right.
That's it and that's all, man. That's coming from probably the most positive, kind face that you're going to see up here in this guy right here. Thank you so much, Bennett.
Thank you.
You're so great, man.
And you are too. Thank you for the interview.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Much love, man. God bless. Okay, for sure. You will. Take care. Hope to work with you again soon.
Hey, you will. Sipping, man?
Huh?
What you drinking? Awesome.
Awesome Minute Maid, some bullshit.
Hold on, you put my headphones on.
Hey, so, that's crazy.
Y'all there?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm now waiting. My sister's on her way. So you think we got some good footage, fellas?
Yes, sir. We sure did, for sure. Okay. Let's talk about Pops for a minute.
Okay, so you said backlash. Let me hear this.
What's been going on? Yep. What's been going on about like since, you know, since everything dropped?
Well,
and, you know, who have heard the interview and your family, bro.
Bro, you know, I honestly, because you know, I gotta watch myself, my nigga. Why? Because I'm trying my best to from now on be not so close-minded and to you know, because us as imperfect individuals, all we see sometimes and feel sometimes are our side of the story and things that we've been through and how it affected us, and then we move according to that. Well, you know, the thing with my brothers, which ultimately this is talking about, that's my dad had a lot to say about the brother breakup, and everything he said was in my opinion true. When I went back and I watched it, you know, I like I said, I personally, on one hand, on the personal side, I got some, I got a lot of, I'm sorry, how you doing? I'm gonna need to stay in one place. I got mobbing by people's belongings and whatnot. I got a lot of personal satisfaction from hearing my dad say the things that I couldn't. It's been 13 years since the brother breakup, and I've probably been interviewed 3 times. Lito, I think you interviewed me twice about it, and maybe once. And I've never fully told the story about how and why we broke up, because there's certain details about the breakup that I just don't want to say. You know what I mean? About my uncle, about Cheyenne, about, you know, I mean, it's just I'd have to throw people under the bus. And yeah, rather than do that, I'd just rather move on with my life and do what I got to do. Like I said before, I'm not one to beg nobody this, that. I'll just go out and just do my own thing. One thing I want to make clear is everybody should know by now, I did not break brother up. I don't have to say that. My dad said it. That's our dad, all of our dad. He made it clear that I came to him because I found out my uncle was being a thief and told him I can't do this no more. That was all true. His timeline of events was all so scary fucking true that, hey, whoever is going to listen to it or have listened to it or are going to listen to it and feel any kind of negative way about it, they deserve it. They deserve to feel however they feel. My dad didn't tell any lies. He didn't say anything unjust. He didn't say anything unfair, in my opinion. He did tell the truth. He did go hard. In my opinion, he went hard on Cheyenne, but Cheyenne needs it. I'm not going to say anything that I think Cheyenne should be doing other than what my dad said, because that's his dad. All I'll say is it's been a year for me at least since I've had peace in my life. And I'm talking about the peace from God, peace. So anybody that feels any kind of way about that, it ain't going to affect me none. I'm gonna get my peace. I'm gonna get my money. My family is strong. I'm stronger than ever. And I'm gonna go on and do what I do, man, and continue that with love in my heart. I started brother. I want to make that clear. You know what I mean? I started brother. I never ended brother. And I'll start something again and something great. You know what I mean? That's just how I get down. So, you know, as far as it's talking for somebody else and how they feel about it, I'm not going to do that. We'll just let time see. You know what I mean?
Time will tell. Have you talked to your dad about, like, has he said anything?
Yeah. Yeah. And my dad has been more positive on what can we do now that we're so close other than dwelling on the past. That's what I love so much about my dad. Like Grady didn't get that. Grady loves to dwell on the past, loves to dwell on the great things we did. And me and my dad, I got that from my dad. My dad is a hustler. He's in a position right now where he's in Vegas and he's been there for not only quite a while, but he's been putting in the legwork to try to get in that circuit to where we could potentially get our own show. And so the conversations that I've had with him after the fact are just talking about Vegas and us doing a Jackson 5 review. And he said he'll never, well, let me close my mouth. I was about to say something negative, but the positive is that's where he's going with it. And I'm riding with him until that shit happens. It's going to happen. No doubt. Just got to keep going.
No doubt, man. Your dad was an awesome dude for us to talk to, bro. For real.
Dude, I couldn't. I knew it was a good idea, Lito, but I couldn't have imagined it would be that good, man. The questions you guys asked him and the way you asked him, bro, I knew you were going to design them perfectly and smoothly to where it wasn't uncomfortable. And it was just beautiful to watch, man. And I shouts out to my dad because he's just an old pro, man. He's an old pro, and the way that he answered the questions, in my opinion, were A+.
Yeah,
your dad was nothing but even in the moments where he might have had something that might have seemed like there was some level of anger behind it, I still didn't get anger. I got, like, I'm a father and I'm speaking about my kids. And in my moments where I'm frustrated with my kids or isolated situations, I still love them and I still want us to do this, not four of us and then the other one. Like, it was 100%. He kept saying us, us, us. And then, I mean, the one thing that I like in old moments that I try to like push to kids to remember, you have this talent. So I don't care what you think you might have did without it, but from what we know today, you got this talent and ability from that man.
Yep.
Hey, bro, I'm glad you said that because at the end of the day, it don't matter how you feel, you know, about what this man did or this, what you know, or what you think he should be. If you can't at least admit that, then how can you expect to get to any kind of level or the level that you want to get to? That's like, if for you to even have to tell a person that is kind of funny. Like, that's kind of like the ultimate disrespect. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. And I say this as a big brother because I've seen it continually over the, not just once or twice, but like since he was a little boy, it's just continued disrespect. And I'm not, I'm not saying my ass is clean. I've disrespected my dad. I disrespected him bad before. I called him out of his name, you know, called him the F word online. And for that, I'm ashamed. But I was at my lowest and I regret that. And I came back. Not only did I apologize to my dad, but I changed. I honestly looked at myself and said, you fucked up. You shouldn't be doing that. And I changed my ways. I stopped drinking. And my dad looked at me about 3 years ago. Once I got sober and he saw it in my eyes, he was like, son, you gotta promise me you'll never disrespect me again. And he gave me this look as if to say, because I don't want to kill you. You know what I mean? Like, don't disrespect me, son. And I'm like, Dad, I swear to God, I'll never disrespect you. And from that day forward, we've been closer than ever, man. And he has a strong personality. We may not agree, but I'll never disrespect him. Go ahead.
I swear. Go ahead, because I was about to say something, but I'm going to go after you.
It's funny because I had like somewhat of that moment with my son the other night.
For real?
Yeah, it was, he was up late. Not even like late, like 4 o'clock in the morning, right? Up late, but dumb loud, dumb noisy down here. It's making mad noise. So I came down one time. I said, yo, you're going to have to go to bed, bro. Like, I'm not going to tell you again. Go back upstairs, still getting the noise. I said, oh, wait a minute. I forgot. He don't live with me. Like, this is summer. So he's never, I don't think my son, I've never hit my son. I've screamed and whatever, but I've never gotten to the point where I got in his face, especially at this age. He's 14 now. I've never gotten in his face. And the other night, I just caught myself, you know what? Let me just remind him real quick. This can go super left. And I got in his face so bad. And I seen how much that bothered him in a different way. It wasn't bothered like, man, fuck you, I'm mad. It was more like, damn, why are you giving me that energy? Like, why? Like, I'm your son. And it made me feel bad for a second. And I was like, nah, but you know what? You need to get this. You need to always honor who I am.
Honor, yeah.
You don't have to me. You don't have to like me all the time. You don't even have to call. You don't have to do the love using. But the one thing you will do is honor the fact that you're here. Because of me.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about nothing else. So at bare minimum, I at least am owed some honor and some respect.
Absolutely, man. No.
No doubt. I was gonna say I seen some even when talking to your dad, you know, it was certain things, but he was super cool, but there was some
Winter's calling me again. Oh, I think that's her. Hold on.
You said I had to let him know, like, hey.
it was something that I've screamed at him as a little kid, but me and him have distance between us. So, you know, there's something we have together, there's FaceTime, but I don't have the day in and day out with him. So, and then he's older. Like, you know, last time I saw him, he was 10, 11 years old. you know, and COVID happened. There was no
such a sweet guy.
No seeing each other. And then now, no, when I seen him, last time I seen him, he was like 5'3", 5'4".
You look good, Mel. That's
5'9", 5'10".
He's 5'10".
The hill. Mailman from the hill. That's my nigga. That's all
Yeah, he's 5'11". So, he's 5'10" now.
I'll have to be back because Miss Kathy says she'll drop Ellie back off at home tonight.
Oh shit! Okay.
So I'll text John and let him know. And
it's a grown man. So now at this point, not a grown man.
Jump this pod real fast. Okay. Go ahead.
He's tall enough. Yeah, I know what you mean. He's tall enough to.
Yeah, so we good.
Well, he's throwing them punches, and he wants to be a boxer. So,
you really got to tell him, like, hey, don't think for 1 minute that you just going to be.
I got to do it now while I can still beat his ass. Because he might be only about two or three years away from punching.
Especially if he's boxing, if he's trying to box, yeah, for sure.
Yes.
You know, that's different. But I was going to say, you know, when we was talking to Ant's dad, like when he started talking about certain things, I could see there was a level of like pain, maybe a little bit.
It's a level, you know what I'm saying? 100%.
Yeah, for sure. So I could tell, and I was like, dang, like for a second, I was like,
hey Lito, the day's gonna come. The day's gonna come where you're gonna have a child.
Yes, right? Sir. Yes, sir.
And if that child happens to be a boy, it's going to come a time where that boy is going to test you. And you're going to have to remind him that, yo, you came from my nuts. if I pull my son in here right now, he'll tell you the first, yo, you know where your first home was, right? What's the first ask? You know where you know where your first home was at, right? That's the point of my nuts. You can never disrespect, bro. You can never play with me. Like that's where you lived first.
For real though.
Don't you ever, came from what?
You can't disrespect home. Don't Fast. Disrespect home. So you know that pain when Aunt Dad was talking, I heard that pain because I've felt that pain as a father before. I felt it and still feel it to this day in certain moments. When you feel like your child is playing with you, or you feel like somebody's using your child against you, or you feel, you know, these different emotions that you go through, but you still have to be a father. You still have to forgive, which isn't easy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to always like your kids, but you always have to love your kids.
True.
So that's hard, man. And it was dope. It was dope getting that perspective of a father who's still to this day, whether they know it or not, still giving them the tutelage and the direction in this business that's still growing, and he's still growing with it. So it was dope.
Yo, before we wrap up, right? You know, y'all know me. Like, let's get a little heavy for a second. Are niggas okay? Are you all right?
I'm not, but I ain't into talking about it at the moment.
Okay. I just wanted to, you know me, I'd be checking on, you know what I mean? I was going to call you, bro, but then I was like, maybe eat, because sometimes I don't want to talk either. So I understand. Yeah, 100%.
No, without going into my frustration is more of a man ego thing than anything else.
Me too. Me too, bro.
So, and that's something that it's literally for me, knowing me, it's literally for the moment, because I'll have days or moments, and then I'll wake up the next day and be like, all right, let's get back to it, nigga. Get out your ego. It's time to push forward. So I appreciate, you know, I got a couple of, it was funny because I had posted something and I got a lot of people hitting me up like, yo, you okay? And I was like, damn, I thought my message kind of told everybody I was okay, but after I read it, I was like, oh, I get how this could read to people who aren't really in tune with how I function on a regular day-to-day basis. Like, I'm one of those people where if I'm really fucked up, you won't know it. I would say anything. Not a clint, not a hint, not a clue, not a nothing. I'm one of those people, I keep all that shit to myself. It's a problem in certain moments it's an advantage. When I do speak, it's really because I'm reflective and I'm most likely working through it mentally. So yeah, for me putting that post, I was like, oh, this, I thought motherfuckers would understand what I meant by what I was saying. Like I ain't
for
good.
For me, trigger words is when I see certain words, I get instantly like, all right, let me check on my boy. Let me check on, yeah, make sure my boy's good.
I think I said, depressed, struggling, tired. But when I say those things, I think that's all things that we all go through. And I think being transparent about it to me isn't a call for help. Sometimes it can be, but for me, transparent, sometimes it's really just being reflective and being able to take acknowledgement to it and find ways to push forward. And then I also say, but I'm still alive, so no complaints.
I'm and going I'm through my own thing right now too, bro. So I think that is why when I seen what you put up, I was like, nah, let me just send a little text out there and make sure bro good. And when I noticed that you didn't say nothing, I was like, he's straight. He just,
yeah. Listen, let me tell you something. You gotta to fuck with me is to know
my phone's gonna work under here.
I know. That's why
I'm about to go underneath this thing. If it shuts off, that's because.
Okay, bro. I remember you listening and you saying, like, if you really was like going through like something crazy, you know what I mean? Like, if it was to that extent, it would be more than just a post, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
Once I sent the text and I asked you, were you okay? I knew you, because you didn't say nothing back. I'm like, yeah, he good.
Yeah, no, I'm good. Like, and then I'll be honest with you, I just be in my own world. So a lot of times when I do get texts or I get something, it'll usually come at a time where I'm in my own brain and I don't want my brain disturbed. So I just don't say shit. Not to ignore things, but because in fear of opening my mouth when I really don't want to.
I feel it. I get it, bro. I understand.
But I think every day above ground is a great one, even with the bullshit that comes with it. Yeah. I'll never complain about what I'm going through. I'll acknowledge it, but I will not complain because there's something worse than all this shit, and it is death. And I ain't paid to see that. So,
facts.
As long as I'm breathing, I'm cool.
I know. Yeah, facts. Me neither.
I believe that in this season, you know what I'm saying? Like, whenever you go through certain things, it's meant to teach you something. So, I think I'm on the receiving end of, being taught something that maybe I didn't know. Maybe it could be people that were in my life or that are in my life that may not be, like, it may be people I'm supposed to be, like, away from. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of stuff that my brain is always on, bro. I'm talking about at late at night when I'm trying to sleep. You ever woke up and just was tired because you didn't, like, you was asleep, but your brain was going, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that happens to me a lot, man. So
I tell people all the time, if there's one thing that that I fear, it's getting to a certain age in life where I can't shut my brain off.
Yeah.
Get this.
Like, I feel like that. No, I don't sleep now, period. Like, I'll go to sleep 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and I'll get up early and then and it's not
you
because
and me too.
Yeah. It's not because I want to. It's like my brain just won't allow me to shut down. So I don't want to get to 50 years old and be doing the same shit.
Me neither, bro.
So I'm gonna take these next 10 years of trying to put to action some of the lessons that I've learned throughout the years. I do believe everything we go through at some point is a lesson, but I do also believe that we do sometimes continue same patterns that we don't correct, and it continues the same cycle. So I'm now getting to the point where, okay, I've learned the lessons. Now I have to put them in action because I'm just continuing the same cycle. So the lesson has been learned. I just ain't put the shit to full motion how I should have at this point.
Yeah, and I haven't figured out certain things. So it's like, for me, it's like, I question a lot of things in life, period. So it's like, cause it's like when you're doing things the right way,
there is no like, right way.
Well, I mean, what's in your mind, you know what I'm saying? You think like, yo, I'm doing this the way that I was either taught to do,
or brake lights on,
or it seems like I'm doing it right, whatever the case may be. And like you said, there is no right way to handle things. Like
the crazy thing about just us as individuals, we can all live our life the right way in different ways. For someone who's insane, who's a serial killer, who just goes around killing motherfuckers, and he ends up being happy doing that, he's lived his life what he deems to be the right way. So to me, there is no right way of anything. It's literally just a matter of doing things the way that best suits you and makes you most happy. Hopefully it's not being that crazy Dahmerish motherfucker, but
right, no way.
You know, for us, we just gotta find our way, man. Find our way to our highest point, and then hopefully we get there.
You wanna go to Gelson?
No, I was just saying that we're part.
That's okay. Okay.
Oh, I missed Gelson. Damn,
you good? You straight? And
yeah, we're at the what is this place called? Century Plaza, like an outside mall.
That's my joint, man.
Bunch of cuties.
That's my joint. I used to be up in there all the time. Y'all right there by Beverly Hills.
Yeah, there you go.
That's crazy. And you straight though, as far as how you been?
Good, man. I had a real busy weekend. Like, the flight got canceled coming back and didn't sleep at all Saturday night at all. Not even a wink, because I was sober, because I was scared to take weed out there to Boston on the plane. So I shouldn't be saying that. So I didn't. And then I didn't have anything, and they didn't have any dispensaries close to the where we were staying at the hotel. Only CBD places. So I didn't end up smoking until before we got on the Spirit Airlines flight Sunday. So, well, it's just been a long weekend. And then I came straight there to my sister. When I got back in town to my sister's, straight to here. But as far as mentally, I'm good. I'm good, bro.
Spirit is all right.
Stick and move.
By the way, also.
Spirit. The plane was brand new, by the way. Spirit. But it was a little rough. They didn't, they make you pay to check your bag, $85 they charge like the musicians. And then like they don't give free drinks.
No, they don't. Free,
like my mouth was all dry because I had just swallowed 70 milligrams of chocolate and it kicked in. And I thought I was gonna get some free water. They walk right by me talking about, you gotta pay. I'm like, what?
Water? Oh, yeah, you're right. They did do me like that.
Can I say real quick? I just was in Vegas, funny enough. And I went and saw Usher's show.
Oh, you saw it?
And I want to say, we do put enough respect on Usher's name, but we need to put a little bit more respect on who the fuck Usher is.
Usher is top tier in my book, my nigga. See, I have nothing. That dude can't do anything wrong as far as I'm concerned. Entertainment wise, he's the pinnacle. That motherfucker is the pinnacle.
Usher,
he can do it all.
When I hear people say things like, you know, and don't get me wrong, I fuck with Chris Brown. When I hear people say, "Oh, Chris Brown is like the new Michael," and no, but I get what you guys are trying to say. Guys are missing somebody in that whole equation. That like filled in a huge gap of time for us when we could not do Michael-esque shit.
They can forget real fast, don't they?
Like, that boy Usher does about a two and a half hour show.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe about 2 hours, but let's just say 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing but hits. He's singing and he's sounding clean.
Mm-hmm.
He's dancing and he's still dancing.
He's still backflipping. Is that true?
Damn.
Yo,
he can still flip.
He's putting on skates and everything, right?
He puts on skates.
All right, it's right here.
Huh? The dancers are dope. The band sounds great. The set list is perfect. He's
entered. Turn the camera around. I don't want to be a pervert with it. Jeez. Oh.
Usher entered to me this R&B Sinatra level.
Absolutely.
Like he's like of that ilk.
Everybody done been to his show. Still gotta go, man. I gotta make my way out there and take Kathy. I've only taken Kathy to one concert, and that was Stevie Wonder, and that's the only concert she's ever been to. I gotta take her to see Usher.
Hey, Aunt, you have sons, right?
Yeah, two. About to be 9 and 11 in the next 2 weeks.
All right, so when you go outside with the 11-year-old, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'll see something walk by and you'll be like, oh. Do you hit him with the little, mm-hmm. yo, you seen that?
Yeah, man, I can't help it. You know what I mean? I take that back. I don't hit him with the, you seen that, because I kind of don't want to be that sleazy. My dad was,
my dad is my dad.
My dad was like our brother growing up. You know what I mean? We did all that together. But so I want to take a step back and not be that, you know, open and liberal. But I do look and I do comment. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a man. I'm not going to keep my comments to myself.
Fuck that.
Hell yeah. I'll be commenting like a mother.
My son thinks I'm like King Pervert, because I'll be outside like, yo. I'm like, yo, you see that? He'd be like, yo, dad, you bugging. I'm like, yo, listen. You got to get your peaks in when you can get your peaks. But it's funny because I remember my dad being like that. And my dad, like when I was younger, I didn't look at girls' asses. I looked at their titties. That was the thing.
Yeah.
And then he was like, he's like, nah, man, when you get older, trust me, you're going to become an ass man. I was like, man, now I'll be outside. I'm like, oh.
Yep. Telling you.
It's funny because I see you over there and I keep thinking to myself, I'm about to take him to the park. I'm about to take him to the park and we'll go hit the track. And if we go on that track, if something keep booting, bouncing a little bit, I'm like, oh, yo, you see that?
And you are hilarious because you over there like, oh my God.
Man, I don't get out much. I live in Barstow, man. I don't live in LA no more. So I live in, they got some things out here, boy.
Century City got it.
They do.
The place to get you in trouble.
You know where you at? You in plastic surgery heaven over there.
That part.
That's plastic surgery central right over there. Roxbury and
crazy.
All that.
That's plastic surgery, though. At least make it look real.
What you get with it, man. Right. At least.
You don't want to punch your ass and hurt your hand and shit. Like,
well, listen, that LA does a little bit better with those jobs than New York. Girl, like, mm-hmm. I mean, I see some botched up shit, but typically LA is it's not as bad as like East Coast jobs.
Yeah.
Girls or them Florida jobs.
Yeah.
Some of them Florida jobs was like, I seen something that was very nasty here recently. I'm watching Nicki Minaj perform. And you know, she always got to wear that, you know, whatever, right? But like she was sitting down and like the ass just
went over. She'll tell you the reason for that is because she didn't get a like a BBL or anything. She got injections. She got shots.
Yeah.
And not like going to the doctor and getting it done. She might have went to some bullshit motherfucking projects or something. No, for real. Like, I think she talks about it. Like, she went and she got it done on some bullshit. And
now, nasty, bro.
You know, K Michelle went through the same thing. K Michelle went and did them on some bad shit. She had to take it all out. And
yeah, this is with love. We just keeping it real. Lil Kim looked crazy. You know. What happened to her?
She looked crazy.
She was crazy. Beautiful back in the day.
She went to the plastic surgeon, like, make me look like a cartoon.
I love, you know what the problem is? And I love Lil Kim, so I
yeah, me too. I love,
I really do.
I love Kim.
I think she's like music fire.
I think with black people,
MCs ever.
Black people, I don't think black people know that the structure of our nose, the cartilage, and all this other shit, it's just different.
Yeah, it is.
So you can't play with it too much. Like, you can't do the things that they do with it. So yeah, black people, before you go rushing to go get a nose job, just take that into to notice.
And our nose are usually wider anyway because of our African heritage.
Yeah, but usually when you do something, you're gonna get that Skeletor-ish look when you start playing with black noses. If you look at the people who do that, it usually pans out to their noses looking like little Skeletors. So,
some of them jobs be looking like crazy. And I've watched Botch before too. Let me say that. Like, some of them jobs be crazy.
Hold on, listen. I was with somebody who worked at one of the prestigious spots in Beverly Hills, and I would go pick her up, and you would see some of the people getting rolled out. Be like, look at it.
You ready?
He couldn't help himself.
That nigga said, fuck a strike.
So we done? We going to party now? Hell yeah, I'm about to go get some weed like a motherfucker. Hey, I did that whole interview sober. I'm pissed.
Hey.
I wish I could have did it.
Hey, high. Listen. If you're out, if you're going to be in the LA area, if you're going to be in the LA area,
right,
a little bit more time, go, I'm going to text it to you. Go get some Luigi.
Luigi? Luigi? All right. What is it?
Smoke that.
For real? Hey, text that to me. What the heck are you talking about?
I'm going to send you.
I want some.
I'm gonna send you the contact.
All right.
I'm gonna take this part out of this.
Oh, hold on. Before you give me information, let's end this first and then let's just do that.
Oh no, I ain't gonna give it to him on here. But we're gonna,
put it coming from live from iRobot Part 3.
I'm cool. They trying to kill us. They trying the Terminator's.
Yeah, right. Nah, for real. We need to figure out if these robots are gonna be allies or enemies, because
before we figure it out, it's gonna be too late.
They're gonna be just like humans. They're gonna be both.
Nigga, it's crazy. Hey, text me that Luigi for real though.
and I'm going to bro, I promise you. I'm gonna put in our chat the interview that I did with you, bro, and see if you recognize yourself. Cause you, bro, that's gonna be crazy. I want both of y'all to watch like the first 5 minutes of it, just see how Ant is. Like, that ninja's a different dude, yo. Straight up,
yeah, man.
Different dude.
Yeah, I believe it, man. Yeah.
Even then, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, it was a different. It was around COVID, wasn't it? COVID was just starting.
I was hitting the man. I don't know. I was another type of animal, man. I was survival of the fittest at that point. You know what I mean?
And when did do you remember the first time that I told you about the men's group and like you came?
I don't, man.
I'm trying to.
I have a hard time remembering first times. That's why when Samantha was like, when you guys, or when she talked about the first time we met, I almost forgot because I'd be forgetting, man. Be forgetting.
Yeah, trees. Trees is real. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. No, you're definitely.
Well, listen, y'all. Listen,
got
y'all.
A this short term memory.
This is the Triangle Offense podcast. We had a great show. Thank you to Samantha.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you to Ben, right?
Bennett.
Yeah, Bennett Tramer. Thanks so much. Special guest, Bennett Tramer. Yes.
Listen, y'all know how we give it up. We're going to be back next podcast.
I'm going to hop in my ish and get up out of here, fellas. All right? See y'all niggas later.
Peace out, y'all.
All right.
Glasses in the air. Toast to a higher power. Cause what you tuning in to right now is Lito's Happy Hour.
Thanks for watching Happy Hour with Lito podcast. Check out Happy Hour with Lito podcast on Facebook, Happy Hour with Lito pod on Instagram, Lito's Happy Hour on Twitter, and also make sure to check us out on Happy Hour with Lito podcast on YouTube. Happy Hour with Lito is a co-Sinister One production.
The others, they just talking and we bout the action. Huh. Glasses in the air. Toast to a higher power. This is Lito's Happy Hour.